Good day, friends, seekers, collaborators, and welcome to At the Still Point. I'm Dr. Ryan Christensen here with Shaman Steve, and we are excited to be bringing you episode 3, talking about anxiety today and ways to overcome the overwhelm, the sense of feeling like life is out of control. And we've had a lot of shifts these past few weeks. Welcome, Shaman Steve. Good to see you. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Boy, what a week. This energy lately, my anxiety has been through the roof, and I'm so excited we're talking about this today.
Yeah, I am too, because I think it's something that we all kind of go through at times, and some of us don't realize that it's anxiety that's hitting us sometimes. So, like, when you think anxiety, what is your definition of anxiety?
Listen, I got to tell you, I've had a week and a beautiful one, but I need to start with a breath myself. So if we can, I love to introduce that, because anxiety for me is a lot of things. And I was diagnosed with general anxiety at my senior year of college and started my first antidepressant at that point, and had a journey through that and transcranial magnetic stimulation. And now I work on my mental health with these techniques that we're going to talk about today, including breath work. And the breath is a bridge between our body and spirit. And we're going to get into a little bit more of the problem, but like, we really want to give you solutions. At the Still Point is our bridge of our physical and our spiritual. And we are really excited to give you some beginner exercises to start breathing and just noticing your breath, being mindful about it, as Shaman Steve is going to share with us a little bit later, is a wonderful place to begin. So I'm going to take a big deep breath in and teach you my favorite down regulation breath, which, go ahead and put your hand on your chest and your hand on your belly. If you're sitting with us at home or watching on YouTube, thanks again for subscribing and following.
Doesn't matter which hand goes where.
No, thank you for asking. And just noticing, take a big breath in and sniff in and breathe out. It's called a two-stage breath. Big breath in again. Sniff and out. Last time, third time's a charm. Big breath in. Sniff. And out. And we're going to get into some more nuance with Shaman Steve's beautiful exploration. But for me, anxiety is that feeling that is about being future focused more than being in the present. It's when I'm so worried about what's next. I call it, for me, it's like a hamster wheel or my monkey brain, my monkey mind. And in my recovery journey, stinking thinking is the cause of my drinking. Mm-hmm. And this anxiety is something that I think we inherit, we hold on to, we learn from our parents, our ancestors, because a lot of people worry and think they're doing empowering energy things, and worry's killing us. I got the privilege of chatting with Deepak Chopra at an American Osteopathic Association event. And I asked him, I said, Deepak, what's the secret? And he said, stress, Ryan. Stress is the real problem. And we are our solution, but we're creating the problem ourselves. And I think it just is so important. Like, millions of people are diagnosed with anxiety. We just went through a ginormous election. Congratulations again to our new president. And people are feeling a lot of feelings around this. And I think it's wonderful that we can make space and curiosity to start with our breath, to start with us as our first appointment. And anxiety for me is a beautiful gift when I learned to ride it, and one of the most disabling things I've ever experienced. And I just, so much compassion going out there for those suffering, and mental health awareness is real. And we want to teach you ways to get better. And welcome to the Still Point. Steve, I think that's all there is. Do you want to go?
Yeah, no, that was beautifully put. Just because some people don't understand what anxiety is like. There's, oh, you can get over it. It's no big deal. But sometimes we don't even realize sometimes what triggers some of these anxieties in us. And I got a little list here. of items that can trigger your anxiety or that overwhelming feeling that we get sometimes. I call it the overwhelming sense of doom.
Yeah, I'm ready to hear your list because this is going to be great, folks. Like, seriously.
No, number one is caffeine. We are an overstimulated species. So caffeine plays a huge role in that. That can make us more anxious. A lack of sleep, an unbalanced diet, or skipping meals. You got to take care of our body. You got to feed it right.
We get hangry.
Yep.
And they teach us in recovery too, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, halt. Those are to stop us and remind us to take care of ourselves.
But sometimes we just push, I'll just push through a little farther. Oh, I can get past this. It's a common...
Boy, Steve, now you're sounding like my brain.
It's a lot of our brains. Next is medications. And then we're going to go back to that kind of self-neglect. We talked about feeding ourselves.
Yeah, properly, medication side effects, though, is if you're experiencing a lot of anxiety after starting a new medicine, including SSRIs for the treatment of anxiety, it's important to talk to your prescribing physician.
Yeah, definitely. So our work environment plays a role in our anxiety.
Absolutely.
Hormones.
Yeah.
Balance or imbalanced. It can all affect us. Social events cause us a lot of anxiety.
Social and performance. Yeah. A lot of people getting up public speaking, right?
Yep. Yep. Well, not just social events, just parties in general.
Social anxiety.
Just going out to the meeting your friends at the restaurant for a meetup. Sometimes that can just be too overwhelming. Too many people, noises. It causes people a lot of anxiety. So those social events can cause a lot of problems for some people. And then sometimes we have conflicts in our life. That's another cause of things. Arguments, whether it be at home or at work or even the occasional road rage incident. Mm-hmm. These are all conflicts that can cause anxiety in our life. Financial concerns, public performances, speaking, podcasts. There's all sorts of things that cause these public performance anxiety issues. This one's more for the younger crowd, anyone that is currently going to school in some way, shape, or form. Upcoming exams, upcoming projects for schools, papers, things like that.
But stuff that's attached to your whole future, taking board exams and things for folks in the training and every stage of that, we're always being evaluated. And the system, the hierarchy, thrives on being able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's hard when we assess our value based on those things. A lot of us do.
It's commonplace. It's almost encouraged in our society in some ways, I feel.
Wow, Steve, what a good list you have. Keep going. What number are we on?
We are on number 12. So number 13, we're going to talk about a messy home environment.
The kind of hoarding or other things like that.
Yeah, just general mess. You are part of your environment. So if your environment's unclean and unkept, so then what does that say about your mind and your body and your soul? Those are probably unkept also.
Wow, everybody. Shaman Steve dropping the knowledge today. That's a beautiful thought, Steve. Thank you for that.
No problem. Life transitions. So anything from getting married, children, new children coming into the life, new partner, new job, all these things can cause these life transition. And then this is a big one for a lot of different people. Negative self-talk.
Boy, we that was touched, episode one.
Yeah, we touched on that previously. Mm-hmm. We treat ourselves worse than we would treat our best friend, worse than we would treat our mother. We really beat up on ourselves in ways that's not healthy for us in any way, shape, or form. Next thing is our stress levels. So that can go back to the work environment. That can go back to any of these things that were up on the list. These
like all Dr. Chopra said, yeah, Deepak.
Yeah.
The stress is really killing us. And it is glorified, right? Like I loved remembering being in residency and it was almost like a badge of like, who's the most stressed? And I think we know those people in our offices that wear their high stress type A person as a badge of honor, maybe.
Some do, yes.
I'm not sure there's valor in that anymore, at least from my experience.
I don't think in today's environment it plays as prominent role for leading to success as it probably has in the past.
That's true.
Number 17 is personal triggers. This is all our little
push my buttons.
Yes. all the button pushing that we say other people do to us and they're just pushing my buttons, or road rage incidents can be personal triggers, someone not using a turn signal, merging improperly. These are all personal triggers for people. Then we have health issues, which is a big one. That one can be just...
Oh my gosh. And right now, accessing care in the system is really difficult. And people are waiting a long time to get that care. And there can be a lot of anxiety and fear around whether is the diagnosis right? Am I being cared for? That's a really good list, Steve.
Yeah.
And I honestly, it's so comprehensive that thank you.
Yeah, no, it my pleasure to share that with you guys. And we got to look at the different approaches we can take, the Western medicine approaches that you're very familiar with.
And let's just do a quick discussion of SSRIs. It's like the brain chemistry hypothesis is a big part of what modern psychiatry is based on. And it's interesting how we're seeing the work of brain energy, Dr. Chris Palmer, and others that are talking about mental health being a result of mitochondrial deficiencies. So thinking about it in terms of energy, in terms of nutrition, and we're seeing stuff like dancing is supreme to anything, including an antidepressant in improving mood. Moving our bodies to something that we enjoy doing. And it's really interesting because SSRIs are a very helpful part of a lot of people's regimens, and I was on them for years. But there's a lot of side effects with erectile function for men, delayed orgasms, and changing a lot of that that makes people, at least a lot of the people that come talk to me, seek out my services because of these known side effects. And what's beautiful is we don't have to do one or the other. There's always a place to honor all of it. If you're suicidal, I treat suicidal ideology like chest pain. It's a brain emergency, and you need community and help. And resources are available, and we can share some. And if one of the things with mental health is it's really important that we be able to check in and know our mental health so that we can, as Steve said, identify the anxiety, or just sometimes it's a normal life. And anxiety or the feeling of tightness in our chest that we assign as anxiety, what about it if it was excitement? You feel that same thing when you're excited to go to a show, but you're not worried about it. So how can we change our brains to reframe this? And also, if people are having a phenomenon known as poop out, if you've been on an antidepressant for a long time, the clinical word is poop out, that it literally, the molecule quits working the same in the brain because the body kind of gets used to it. And so we are balancing three chemicals with mood. Serotonin is the sunshine chemical. That's, hey, I feel pretty good. And that's why we use SSRIs, serotonin, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, to keep the serotonin around longer. But norepinephrine is a kind of about wakefulness and cycles, and that's more in like pain in the body. And then dopamine is the reward chemical. So all of the different meds we use, Wellbutrin, Cymbalta, those different medications, those are all different modulators of dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. Talk with a clear doctor, and one of my things is there's also some great mental health prescribers. An experienced prescriber makes a big difference, and people that are familiar with this, because a lot of people are just put on SSRIs for situations in their life that they might have an ability to change, a job, a relationship. And I ask the hard questions, do you want me to medicate you for this job? And some people say yes, and that's okay. But I always am excited to share people breath work and some of the grounding practices that we're going to talk about, because it's so important that you learn to care for yourself. And nobody teaches us this stuff. At least they didn't teach me that.
Wasn't taught in high school or college classes I went to.
Yeah.
So it definitely, you put it so well. It's hard to really top that. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for letting me have a chance to explain some of the medical side, because I think in this podcast, it's a space for us to meld all that we bring.
Exactly. That's why that's your expertise. So I want to bring you in on that for me, because there's maybe some of that I learned some stuff tonight. So thank you, for that.
And that's always, Steve, our conversations are always so enriching. And thank you, because I think teamwork makes the dream work, and we're better together.
Yes. Yep. Small communities are great. Now we look at other more traditional medicine approaches with treating anxiety.
Yeah, so what's the shamanic view on treating anxiety?
I'm going to get to that in just a second. One other thing that other things like exercises that will help too. So energy exercises like your Tai Chi or your Qigong, those are great for helping that.
Yeah,
Qigong. Yep. And then there's other herbal remedies that we can touch on later.
Oh yeah, do you want to share a couple of those? What are your favorite? What are your top two favorite herbs for anxiety?
I'm going to just give my top one, just because it's more readily available in the United States, easy to find anywhere. Ashwagandha is an excellent one. It does give a little pep in the step too, so it does give you that little bit of a more of a caffeine-y type of uplift to yourself too.
And that's an adaptogen, everyone. Ashwagandha is a traditional Ayurvedic herb that's used for uplifting. And my favorite one for anxiety is lemon balm. And that I love raw lemon balm and tea. And lemon balm is Carmelite water, and they used to serve that. Lemon balm tea has been used since the 1300s for helping people with anxiety. And there's some studies that even a glass of tea, one little cup of tea a day, can drop anxiety symptoms by 70%. The only other medical thing I want to mention before we talk about anything else on the energy is magnesium. And magnesium deficiency is the other number one cause of anxiety that I see, because magnesium is a precursor to GABA, the brain's inhibitory Xanax, like shutdown molecule. So a lot of us are deficient in magnesium, and it's changing our hearts and it's changing our bone health. And so that's something to talk to your doctor about. And because magnesium is a really helpful thing for a lot of people. And you know how else you can get it is through Epsom salts or magnesium oil through sprays or maybe your favorite float tank.
Okay. Yes. See, I was just going to ask you about the different ways that I could introduce magnesium into my life or my diet and stuff like that, because I don't always like taking a bunch of pills all the time.
Well, and I think our foods, like the soil doesn't have as much magnesium as it used to. And so we're eating good, nutritious food, but it doesn't have as many of the minerals as it once did.
Okay.
And so we're actually seeing that's where some targeted supplementation is helpful, but it's really interesting. And everybody's journey is meant to be honored. Your journey is different. And every one of our listeners, I just want to just bless your individual journey now through this mental health and anxiety. And whether you're diagnosed or not, like, just be gentle and compassionate with yourself, because we all go through these phases.
Yeah, exactly. We've all been there, done that on some level in some way. So you got to give yourself the space to operate and heal yourself properly.
And
if you don't, then that's going to be part of the problem with moving forward. You have to surrender to the process and trust your inner guide.
Well said, Shavin Steve.
So then I have a list here of 11 spiritual practices help soothe your anxiety levels or your overwhelming feeling. So we're going to go through this list real quick here. Touch on we'll try to dig into a few of them deeply, and a few of them we'll just touch on and move along. First is the mindful meditation. You want to begin or end your day with a few minutes of mindful meditation. Notice your body, notice your breath again, notice your mind. See if you can observe yourself in just existing. Allow space for whatever arises and see, witness, and learn to observe yourself with more curiosity and judgment than judgment.
Mm-hmm. Curiosity's big.
Yes.
That's mindfulness, really.
Yeah. And then one of the things that you just touched on, you jumped the gun on me on one of my items here, which is...
Look at us, teamwork, synchronicity.
Yes. The ecstatic dance or movement. Oh, you know, this is, like, some will call this maybe an embodiment practice or a mindful movement practice. This really does tune your... It might look like yoga. It might look like you crawling around on the floor on your hands and knees. But seriously, try it. Wild dancing to fantastic music. It can slow your breathing. It can be shaking your body to help release the stress, the tensions. Let yourself be surprised and expansive consciously.
That's right. Yeah. Get a little groovy with it.
Yes, exactly.
And finding that to hype yourself up, like before an exam or something, like that's a beautiful idea. And if you use exercise, that stimulation, getting your heart rate up, will help calm the anxiety.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh, Steve, this is a great list. Keep going.
Okay. Next, we have using mantras. And mantras can be used.
Mantras, you know, and positive self-talk. These are repetitive phrases that help anchor.
Yep. You can use them first thing in the morning. You can use them at bedtime. You can use them when you're having a rough day.
What is your favorite mantra?
I think one of my favorite ones is, I have everything I need.
I have everything I need. Let's say that together, everyone. I have everything I need. I like happy heart and peaceful mind.
Yep. And then my next favorite one is relax, release, rest. Something that we all don't do enough of. Then next we have conscious journaling. And some people might scoff at journaling. Some will call it keeping a diary. But writing down your own thoughts and feelings is a form of meditation. It can be a very spiritual practice when done with intention. So if you, and there's that word again,
intention.
We've talked about that the last couple podcasts, and I think that really needs to be reiterated, is when we put intent behind things, the universe definitely does step up in a bigger way and help provide that stuff for us. So you really need to step inside yourself and really try to lean into that. Mm-hmm. And then next is connecting to nature. So that's a simple one. That's easy.
Go look at a tree. Look at your birds. Go outside.
Yeah,
bare feet on the grass.
Go to the park. Take a walk around. Go on the trails. Take a walk in the woods.
We live in Lake Orion. We're living as a vacation.
That's what they keep telling us. And there's lots of lakes to go around and dip your toes in. It can be simple. That can be connecting with nature. It's just getting out and getting into nature. Feeling that
positive energy. Keep going, Steve. This is amazing.
So next is reading sacred or inspirational texts. And that kind of goes with the mantras a little bit, but this is more daily affirmations or things like that. There's always a good quote out there.
Well, it's a spiritual diet, right? If you're reading stuff that gives you anxiety, read something that doesn't give you anxiety.
Yeah. Yep.
And brings you a feeling of peace and safety and comfort. That's important.
It really is. Like, here's a great inspirational quote. If you want to conquer the anxiety of life, live in the moment. Live in the breath. Mm. Right back to that breath work again. And that's by Amit Ray. Next, we have surrendering to the breath work.
Yeah, now, let's talk about breath work, Steve. And isn't this the way that a lot of shamanism approaches healing, is through the breath?
It's a very big part of our practices and everything, because a lot of the breath work that we start to get into is great. And I actually have a nice little breathwork exercise since we're bringing it up. It's a great time to just go ahead and put a nice little breathwork exercise into.
Let's do it. Permission. I'm ready for another practice.
All right. This is going to be the 4-4-8 breathing. I think you're a little bit familiar with this.
Oh, we can do the one that you have if you want.
You wanted the 4-7-8? Okay. This is called the 4-7-8. So I'm going to read the instructions, then we'll go through it. But the first couple bits are very important to understand. So the first thing you want to do is take the tip of your tongue and press it against the ridge of the tissue behind your upper front teeth, and you keep it there for the entire exercise. And this really does work. It's made the biggest difference in some of my breath work.
And this is something I've learned too from my breath work teachers, is that's the area of the Ida and the Pingala, mm-hmm. the conception and the governing vessel in traditional Chinese medicine, that come together right there. And by adding your tongue to it, that you're closing the circuit. And that's a really important part to keep our flow of energy going.
Yep.
Wow. Great point, Steve.
Yep. And then, so it almost sound like a whoosh sound when you do it. So it'll be like. It's almost like
a hiss. So get a little bit more into the microphone and read. Will you read the instruction for us before you demonstrate? Because the folks that are listening at home can't see us.
Yeah, I forget that sometimes.
So it's we're not that good at this yet. We're getting there.
We place the tip of your tongue against the ridge of the tissue behind your front upper teeth. So that little
place where you make an N. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Yes. You press your tongue up there, and then when you exhale, it'll almost make a whooshing sound. So as you deep breath in.
Will you count for us?
Yes. Yes. So then let me finish all the instructions. So after we completely exhale with our mouth, making the whoosh sound, we'll close your mouth and inhale quietly through your nose as you mentally count to 4. You hold your breath for a count of 7, and then you exhale completely through your mouth with that same technique of pressing your tongue to the front of the back of your 2 front teeth for a count of 8.
Okay.
Let's start now. So we're going to breathe. We're going to breathe in for 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now hold for a count of 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale completely, making that whoosh sound for a count of 8. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you're going to do that 3 times. So, ready to do it, right?
Yeah, let's do a cycle of 3 at least. That's wonderful, Steve. Thank you.
Okay, Now in for four.
One, two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. In. Two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. In. Two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Well done. And it was beautiful, Steve. Thank you for practicing that and teaching us that, because we actually did a variation during that practice that I want to share with people. Because, and this was the discussion that Steve and I were having earlier, is oftentimes this breath is taught as a 4-7-8 breath, but many of us struggle with breath work to hold that long if you're new to it. So you can easily change this. And the one I practice is the 4-4-8, which is a 4-count in, a 4-count hold, and then an 8-count out. Anytime you're anxious, if you lengthen the exhale, you'll be really surprised at how much better you feel quickly.
You really would. Like, I'm totally relaxed now.
Will you count me through one? I want to do one.
Yeah, not a problem. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. And in, two, three, four, hold. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. In. Two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. In. Two, three, four. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. How do you feel?
That breath works every time. And it only takes about 20 to 30 seconds to do this little practice, this little life energy snack that Shaman Steve just gave us, to change your whole nervous system. You can change it in a moment. And the breath is the only vital sign that we can change.
Yep.
It's magical, you guys. And I'm so excited to hear in the comments how your breathwork practice has opened after practicing this with us. And what would you suggest for a practice, Steve? Just that round of three, at least once a day?
Yeah.
Maybe twice a day. And didn't you have a challenge for me and our listeners?
I have a challenge for you.
Yeah, you once said, I want you to do this breathwork every day. And then write about what the experience that comes up. And you named two of the practices that today are the really the important ones to get this extra stuff out of our brains.
Yeah.
And it's breathing and writing.
And if you can take the time, and you, not if, you need to make
when you make the time. 5 minutes this takes. Do it on the toilet.
Yeah.
Do it after the shower. Don't make this hard on yourself.
No, it can literally be done anywhere. I wouldn't suggest.
I'm doing it right now.
I wouldn't suggest it while doing while driving.
That's right.
Safety. Oh, yes. You got to think.
And altered states can happen if you breathe. If you have any medical conditions, again, check with your physician and see. But these are safe practices, and letting the emotion out helps.
Yeah.
You may cry. You may feel a little tenderhearted. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, Steve. What a great day.
It really has been.
Should we finish off with your last suggestion? The conscious breathing together?
The conscious breathing. Yeah, so the mindful meditation is what I would be.
Let's send us out with that, because this little mindful moment is going to be the best way for our listeners to be at their own still point today.
Yeah.
And thank you again for coming to our third episode, everyone. We're excited, and follow us for more. Stay tuned for a few announcements with a Black Friday special at the Stillwaters and more to come. So check out our list, follow our website, and we will be in touch with more valuable information for your healing journey.
Yeah, check out the site. We're hoping to have up in the next couple of days here that list of 11 spiritual practices to help you out. We're going to give that to you for just coming and subscribing.
Oh, that's really helpful. Yeah, you can review that list and use these practices in your daily life. And this list will help remind you.
Yes.
Oh, Steve, what a great idea.
Yeah, it's our job to help the people as best we can. And putting information and giving them the knowledge to better themselves is what we're here to help do.
And our Buddhist friends teach us that when you improve yourself, you improve the world.
Very true.
We'll finish with the breathing. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, not a problem. In mindful breathing, this involves breath control. You want to choose a calming focus. A good example that I use a lot is the Om sound, or a short prayer is also a good thing. If you just want to focus on one word, some people will use the word peace. Just, you know, if that's the way they want to go. But then, so you're gonna choose the sound, repeat it aloud or silently as you breathe in and out. Let go and relax. When you notice your mind wander, just take a deep breath and say to yourself, thinking. This will prompt gentle return your attention to your chosen focus. Go ahead, Ryan.
To our breath, it returns us. To our bodies, it returns us. To the ground, it returns us. To the earth, it returns us. Feels good, Steve.
And then you can even take that mindful breathing into one of the 11 steps for overcoming your anxiety and your overwhelming feeling with the mindful meditation. And so you just carry that breath work into what you want to focus on. You need to calm your mind. And as you breathe that focus word in, or you want to breathe that, I use it for myself a lot. And a lot of times in my practice, for me, it's just not, and it helps clear my mind of everything else. So as I'm breathing in and out, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out everything else in my life. And I mean everything. And it will take a few breaths. Sometimes it'll take 4 or 5. So I'm breathing them in. And as I breathe out, I say the things that are bothering me. Work, my car, the leaves in the yard, and breathe that back in, out with the bad. I don't want to walk the dog today. I don't want to take out the garbage today. Breathe that home back in. I don't want to deal with Bob's text today. He's too negative. I don't want to deal with Susan today. I can't stand her voice. Get all those negative out until you come to a relaxed state when you breathe in and you cannot, and as you breathe out, you cannot think of any more negative things from your day to push out of your mind. And then you just sit. And then when that moment comes where you feel that sensation of, what is that? Wait, what is this I'm experiencing now? Those are the good points of your meditation that will take you deep. Lean into those moments. Find out what those moments are. Is that the calming beach that you've always wanted to sit on? Is it the sound of the brook in your backyard as you're getting ready to go out fly fishing? Is it the sound of the leaves crumpling as you walk? Those are all the good things that you breathe in and breathe out the bad. And you do this in your meditation, 5, 10, 20 minutes, whatever you can dedicate to that. Every bit of it will be helpful.